I want to talk now because, you know, we all know that right now people are doing it pretty tough. We know that there's a cost of living crisis. For some families, they've been living in struggle street for such a long time. We've had our nurses trying to get, get an increase in pay. We've had our junior and senior doctors going on strike for better pay. And of course, now we see where we have a chief executive of one of our Radio New Zealand, looking like he's going in the opposite direction. He's getting a pay increase at a time where everybody is being told to rein in their spending. So I'm very delighted now to speak to Muriel Tūnoho, and Muriel is the co-president of the Etu Union. Kia ora, Muriel. Nice to talk with you this evening.
Oh, tēnā koe, Merepeka. Kia ora.
Well, it is true, isn't it, I understand that's correct, that Radio New Zealand, their chief executive, has been given a bonus. That's unusual because at this stage, I don't know of anyone, and if they have had a bonus and if they have had a pay increase, they're certainly not making it public. They're not banding that around at present.
My understanding is that the CEO of Radio New Zealand is about to receive a $65,000 annual increase, and on top of that, a $13,000 bonus. And we should all be concerned about that, and probably more concerned that, as you've already commented, Merepeka, we all know the real situation in terms of people with whānau struggling out there. And I was pretty outraged to hear, this news. And I think it's more concerning is that the Radio New Zealand, which is New Zealand's own and governed, their board is completely tone deaf, and I think they're out of touch in terms of the real situation.
Well, yes. I mean, I suppose when you listen to what some of the increases from other organisations, and I'm talking about outside of the public service, that some of those increases, such as perhaps the CEOs of other of corporations, and maybe Fonterra and other big conglomerates, their pay increases are absolutely significant, and the shareholder would determine what that might be. But of course, we're talking about a government organisation here, and the government has been saying, and the previous government and now the current government, this one coming in, they're all talking about the need, obviously for government departments to watch their spending. And it does seem a little bit inconsistent that here we have, actually we've got a government, organisation, Radio New Zealand, we've got a government organisation that actually has been having a tough time lately, you know, in terms of making ends meet. So it doesn't seem as if it's quite gelling with me.
I think your instincts are right, and certainly what we've seen. It does call into question, really, in terms of asking or questioning why are CEOs, and in this case, a government agency, why are they, CEOs, immune to financial pressures that many workers aren't, quite in the same position, because that burden is often pushed, moved on to workers as well. So I think there's also inconsistencies there. And even if organisations are performing poorly, for some reason, CEOs are also rewarded, with grand bonuses as well. And I did wonder, given some of the rhetoric and some of the conversations during the general election campaign by our incoming Prime Minister about the squeezed middle, I guess the question is, maybe this isn't the squeezed middle that we were believing. And that's concerning, that that's the squeezed middle of highly paid CEOs.
Well, yes. Well, I know that there, when a CEO is in, I guess you could say, when they do their performance appraisal, when the board does a performance appraisal, I guess they look at the job sizing again, and they look at have they achieved their KPIs, as we know, key performance indicators, and I suppose if they don't get a job, a salary increase, then they could fall below, be fall behind in the band that would be most appropriate for that type of job, or you know, or yeah, that where the skills are required, because there's various bands, as we all know. And so then if they get too far behind, their next salary increase might be then 150. So I suppose they're saying, well, we can't afford to get behind, so let's make sure we just keep it up, even if it is, you know, if it is 65,000 rather than 150, because I guess really it could well have been a lot more.
And I guess that's a concern, isn't it? And I guess to your comments, which I fully support, is I think we're heading in the wrong direction here. That you know, we've all been aware of that increased inequality, you know, happening right across our communities here, and we should care about how we close that gap, not how we widen it. And I think this move is taking us in completely the wrong direction.
Yes, yes. Well, and of course, you know, I mean, I think we've been losing a lot of our revenue that they say these recent, and you know, I mean, people these days are, well, other organisations are not, what would you call it? They're not, they're watching where they're spending their advertising dollar. And so I guess you would think that with all media these days, they would be really very careful about salary increases at a time when their revenue is going, is I understand, it is actually going down. They just don't have the income that they used to from their advertising and from the sponsors that they used to have. So, you know, it seems to me as if they're in a bit of a no-win situation, and this isn't going to help.
Well, I don't think it's going to help, and it's not addressing the demands and the pain that's being felt right across our communities at the moment, and it's completely sending the wrong message here. Maybe it's time for the government to call capping, you know, CEO salaries. And I mean, this is a government that is about to reject the fair pay agreements, which is the whole, you know, industry's set standards to try and lift many, you know, thousands of low-paid workers up onto, you know, a more livable wage. But I don't hear them. It's interesting, they've kind of chosen to look at the wrong end of the pyramid, I guess, to see who's actually benefiting here.
Yes, well, that's right, because, I mean, the national, well, the incoming government, the national government has already indicated, and you would know this, and you could, so have they actually said that they are going to, what would you say, take off the table the fair, is it the fair wage agreement? Is that what they're saying?
Yes, you know, the fair pay agreement, that's been completely rejected by Business New Zealand since its inception. And it's been supported by National, and even more worrying than by ACT as well. And I just think it's not, you know, it just kind of increases more pain in our communities and for workers in whānau. And that's, I don't think that's the right way for us to be going.
Yes. Well, yes, I mean, we're all very worried about that, because, you know, where is the protection? Where is the protection for the workers if there's no fair, you know, fair wage agreement there that people can rely on? So where is the protection for our workers?
Well, I think that's where we have a lot of concerns as unions there, because we can see this new incoming government reintroducing a whole lot of their policies, which were overturned, such as the Fire at Will bill, the 90-day trial period, and even reducing workers' rights to bargain as well. So there are significant workers' rights that are actually at risk.
Yes, well, they are at risk. And, you know, they were hard fought for in the first place and hard won in the first place. And for them to now be at risk, it does make, I think it makes our workers quite nervous, really. And as you say, when we see this with Radio New Zealand, because they've had a bit of a shambolic last 12 months at Radio New Zealand. And so I just think, you know, to get a bonus and to get a pay in a pay rise at this time when we know there's a crisis, you know, a cost of living crisis. All the workers will see that. I wonder how much the workers got an increase, if anything. I doubt
well,
it.
Well, exactly. And many, you know, many of the workers that we represent are in vulnerable positions. So these are like security guards and cleaners. Even our care and support workers who are fighting and struggling to get recognised and, you know, through a pay equity settlement, are all, you know, they're still vulnerable and still having to battle twice as hard for them.
It always seems to me that we want to take it from those who have, who don't have much, well, when I say, who have the least in terms of wages, you know, that's where they're the ones that always come in for being trimmed. And, you know, and what they want is just a fair, they want a fair wage so that they can live with dignity and provide for their own families.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's more by design. You know, it's by design that it's the vulnerable workers that have the less power and less voice and say in their workplaces. They're the ones that are marginalised.
And, you know, when you look at it, and you've mentioned some of your category of workers in terms of their jobs and the care and support workers, I mean, you know, I mean, that's hard mahi, and that is you know, the most valuable work. And certainly during COVID and the months and the 12 months or 18 months after COVID, I mean, you know, they absolutely proved invaluable in that time. And we were all grateful for their work then. And hang, you know, that's got to translate in some way, shape, or form into actually a remuneration that respects and values the work that they do.
I think so. And, you know, who was, you know, keeping us safe and, you know, protected in our public hospitals and our supermarkets and all of those places? They were the workers that were, you know, the most vulnerable, putting themselves at risk during that whole period, and still struggling on, you know, some on the minimum wage as well.
Yes, yes, I know, and it's and I guess I suspect, you know, we're still not out of the, you know, out of the, I suppose you could say, out of the crisis situation at this point in time. There are a lot of people, and, you know, we've got Christmas and the summer vacation coming up. It's an expensive time anyway. And listen, I was just talking about the Black Friday sales. Can you tell me, Muriel, you know, that seems to be something that's growing in New Zealand, but to me it's just another way of extracting money from the families who probably need to pace themselves because it's coming up to Christmas and holiday times.
I agree. I mean, personally, I just think this whole Black Friday is kind of similar to, it's like Halloween that's been imported here from America. It's not part of our known tikanga here, and it has been completely commercialised and use as tools to encourage people to, you know, spend. And this is at a time where many don't have enough to, you know, like live on, never mind spend on luxuries or anything else. So, yeah, it's not helpful, I have to say.
No, it's not. What's your membership now of your Etu union?
Etu is, well, close to 50,000.
Right.
We have a very diverse membership. We cover about 8 different industries, so, you know, including those workers I mentioned before. We also cover, you know, aviation workers, those in mining, infrastructure, you know, engineering, such, and our journalists as well. So it's really diverse.
Journalists as well?
Yep.
Yep. Oh.
So media are part of our membership too.
Right, right. Well, of course, they've been hard hit. I mean, this in the last couple of years, I find our journalists, you just see them disappearing. There have been restructurings left, right and centre, and they're disappearing and, you know, either going on to contract or that sort of thing. So, you know, they must be, you know, they must have to be out there looking all the time. to make sure that they can get work. And I think the casualisation of our workforce now, Muriel, is biting into the incomes of many families.
I think so. That's just another layer of challenge in as a reality. Yeah.
And Muriel, because you're co-president, do you have a male president and a female, or is it just a shared position between two officers?
We're rank and file members that are democratically elected, and within our union structure, one of those co-presidents have to be tangata whenua.
So I see.
Who I represent. Yeah. It's not by gender, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Oh, well, look, that's great. Look, thank you so much, Muriel, for just coming on. I hope from time to time, particularly after we see what the coalition agreement finally looks like, I hope that from time to time you might join us on Radio Wātea and to keep us abreast of what's happening. It'd be really great. You'll find our listeners are very interested in what's happening to people who could possibly end up being quite vulnerable in as we go through the next couple of years.
You know, I'm really happy to do that any time, Merepeka, because I think it is going to take all of us collectively to work together to hold this government to account. I look forward to that.
Oh, thank you so much, Muriel. Thank you very much for joining us this evening on Radio Wātea.